Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show.
Fair but firm.
With the Hall of Fame boxing referee.
I'm Joe Cortez.
And co-host John Zamel for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but firm.
Welcome to the Fair but Firm Show here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the boxing capital of the world here. Monday morning. Hot. It can be 112 degrees today. I mean, that is pretty hot out here. Good thing that we're indoors right now with air conditioning.
That's a good
thing. It was pretty hot over the weekend. Had some hot fights over the weekend, John.
Sure was, man.
The big fights out in California.
Absolutely. We had that big heavyweight matchup between Chris Areola, the Nightmare.
That was in New York, right?
That was in New York, yeah.
What fights? At the Barclays Center.
Yes, sir. Brooklyn Boxing. And Brooklyn's own Adam Kownacki, he decided to make his case for a heavyweight title matchup.
Yeah.
Fighting against Chris the Nightmare Areola, and it was a strange fight, Joe. It was a slugfest, which fight fans love. It was the most punches ever thrown
and
ever landed in a heavyweight class since CompuBox was started. But at the same time, it just didn't feel like a lot was going on. How could so much action seem so?
Well,
at one time it was a flurries of fists, but they were slow fists. It was a slow flurry.
It looked like it was a pillow fight type of a fight. You know. I mean, it was just back and forth all night long. But
it was a lot of shots.
A lot of shots, but, like, no damage done behind them.
You had two guys who both moved forward a lot, two guys who both plod, two guys with not an insane amount of power compared to their contemporaries,
right. And
two guys with really good chins, but it just didn't seem like those shots were really – it sure wasn't Canelo Triple G, you know what I mean?
No,
slugfest.
No, these guys were going at it, but it was just like I said, like it was like powder puff. Punches. It was like nothing behind it.
Yeah.
And of course, you could go 100 rounds like that on that alone. That's why they broke the record. So many punches thrown.
I mean, they took some shots to the head, but nothing that was going to put either one of them down.
Yeah.
They both had to have headaches after that was over, to be honest with you.
I can tell you one thing. I want to see him 10 years from now taking all the punches to the head.
Oh, my God.
You're going to see the effect later on in their career.
That's what they were saying, man. I mean, a lot of fans afterwards were like, I mean, you look at Kownacki has a really interesting style. What do they say the secret to boxing is? Hit and don't get hit?
Yeah.
He's got a more of a hit and get hit style, where he just takes shots and keeps moving forward, and it's worked for him up to this point in his career.
But I mean,
he's successful for a reason. But
yeah, but sometimes in boxing, you got these trainers out there that, you know, let these – you're supposed to train your fighter to hit and don't get hit. But what's going on? These guys are getting hit so much. I think that what they got to do is either change trainers and get a trainer who could teach the sweet science of boxing. I mean, you don't want to get hit when you get out there. You're going to get hit some, of course. I don't care how good you are. But, you know, don't get hit repeatedly. Round after round after round, you're taking so many punches to the head.
Some guys, traditionally, their style has been, though, right? To kind of take the shots, and as long as you're delivering bigger punches. I mean, that's been historically, people have always done that.
The fans love that kind of a fight. They like to see a slugfest. But in the sweet side of the box, you get a Floyd Mayweather out there.
Oh, yeah.
He'll hit and don't get hit. People don't like that. They like to see the guy get hit back and forth. But if you look at these guys at the end of their career, they'd be walking on their heels.
Absolutely, man. I mean, how many more shots can you take if you're a Kownacki like that? How many more Chris Areola-style shots? And by the way, shout out to Chris Areola. I think this is probably his last fight. He said it would be. I kind of hope it is. This is a guy who's fought for a heavyweight championship three different times. You know, he had three different shots at it. Some guys never make it. But good for him for getting to that level, to the contender level, three different times.
Yeah.
He had a chance at a heavyweight belt.
But he's still saying, though, he's going to go back and talk over this retirement with his family.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that was what I read this morning. That's all hearsay. But from what they said, he's going to go back and think about it, even though he said, if I lose, I'm retiring. But now he's thinking different because he felt he put up a good enough fight.
He did put up a good enough fight, but do you see him ever being back on a championship level?
Not really.
He won't ever contend
not really,
for another
but you
belt,
know what?
Right?
But he can buy make another million or so.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
You know, and he probably said, you know, let me go out there. If I did good enough, maybe they still consider me for another title shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably get something, or maybe some kind of an eliminator or something.
Yeah.
But he'll probably make
that's kind of what this was, though.
If he can make another extra $1 million, you know, why not? But I hope that health comes first.
I couldn't agree more, man. Now, let's talk about, now that, you know, we talked about Areola, let's talk about Kownacki. What do you see as being next for him? I mean, he was really trying to put up a case for having a title shot. Do you think he made his case? I mean, one, how many really great heavyweights who we know are even out there? I mean, with 10 of them?
Well, you know, if you put him and Andrew Ruiz together, it's like having two heavyweights that are heavyweights. I mean, look at these guys. All they eat is like hamburgers, 20 hamburgers three times a day.
You could pay-per-view the weigh-in.
My God. You could bring in the over. You bring in these hamburger franchises out there. Let them be the sponsors for the weigh-in. I mean,
that would be cool. I would pay for that. I would go watch those two break scales.
Man, that's 20 fantastic. Hamburgers three times a day. That's what those guys are eating, man. I don't know.
Now, what do you think?
I mean, the guy, Kanaki, he looked like a Kanaki, man. Yeah, he was
big. Yeah, he's a big dude. Polish fighter, man. How do you see? Okay, we talk about how the weigh-in would go with Ruiz, but how do you think an actual fight with Andy Ruiz would go?
It'll be like the fight of Humpty Dumpty meets Hamburger. You know, they're like, wow, come on, man. Those guys are really out of shape. And Andy Ruiz told me, Joe, I'm going to get in shape now for my rematch against Anthony Joshua.
I want to talk about that.
I mean, he said he's going to get a nutritionist.
He's been telling everybody that, man.
Yeah, and all he's eating is...
he told Joe Rogan he's eating light. He said he's eating steak and sandwiches.
Steak and sandwich?
Steak and sandwiches. That's his light eating. But do you think that's good for him? You think he should get in shape? I mean, his cardio was fine. I mean, he had a better gas tank than Anthony Joshua. He was faster than Anthony Joshua. I mean, outside of aesthetics,
Because if you play the role of a champion, you got to look like a champion. You got the sponsors out there who say, you know, I want to sponsor that guy unless it's one of those hamburger franchises.
They say, well, Snickers? Yeah, Snickers got him all.
Oh, Snickers. That's what his father
gave. He got a
Snickers belt.
He already had four belts. Now he's got five with the Snickers belt.
Yeah.
Which is good, because if you're Andy Ruiz, your belts break pretty often.
Anyway, the thing is, the fighter got to be keeping himself in good shape. You know, it's not a comedy show, man. I know you fans out there laughing. This is not a comedy show. Sometimes we can do it. John is a stand-up comedian, so he can do it. Maybe we'll have you do the...
Ruiz Comedy Hour?
Yeah, Andy Ruiz Comedy Hour. There you go.
How do you like Kaunaki's chances against the champions, though? Against the Ruiz, against Wilder?
From what I saw, I wouldn't even consider him as a contender.
I agree with you. I mean, he's a better name than Otto Wallen, but which we'll get to in a second. But at the same time, I agree with you. I don't see him. I don't see him making any noise at the very top.
There's no noise there at all.
There's at least five guys. I mean, I think Ortiz beats him. I think Wilder. Wilder might put him in the hospital.
I can beat him.
I can.
So forget about it. Then let's talk about the other heavyweight fight.
Let's do it. Okay, let's talk about Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that news, Joe. We have big Tyson, news coming out of, you know.
Yeah, Tyson Fury making a comeback. He hasn't retired, but, I mean, he's fighting another. Come on, you know.
Oh, Joe, all right, let's do this.
He's fighting not even a B-class fighter.
No, sir, he is not. He is 48th ranked heavyweight on BoxRec, which, credit to him, his last opponent, Tom Schwartz, was 56th ranked. So he's gone up a whole eight spots for a guy that talks about and considers himself the greatest heavyweight in the world, and who a lot of fans consider the greatest heavyweight in the world. Now, Joe, this is a guy who in his last five fights that are actual fights, not exhibitions, real fights.
But guys, not even contending.
Francisco Pianetta, Sefer Seferi. These are names that you'll never hear again. This is trivia. This is Tom Schwartz, and then now Otto Wallen. The only guy you've heard of is Deontay Wilder, who arguably he beat, and I give him a ton of credit for arguably beating that guy.
I think the referee is more popular than the fighters.
That's not a joke. That's not a joke. That's not just coming from a referee. Joe, what grade do you give this matchup? Otto Wallen has fought zero main events of any note. He's been on zero undercards of any note. He's fought one 12-round fight ever. He's never contended for a championship. What grade do you give this A through F, this matchup here?
Man, I don't even there's no rating for this kind of fight.
What happens when you don't even show up to class and they say you don't even get an F? You got to start doing it all over again.
You got a minus F. I mean, really, really, really bad, you know?
I agree with you, Joe.
But anyway, let's stop talking about those non-competitive fights. Let's talk about something really competitive. I mean, like at the end of the day, man, when Manny Pacquiao beat, talking about Keith Thurman, undefeated. I mean, I know it's already past news, but this fight goes on the history books. And the fans will keep talking about this fight for many years to come.
Forgive us for milking this fight as much as we can, but this is history here.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. There's very few times. We talked about Ruiz Joshua for like at least 4 weeks because that was history. When history gets made, we're a boxing show. We talk about old fights. We talk about new fights. We talk about things that are going to happen. And when we have history made in front of us, we're going to talk about it as long as we can. And history was undoubtedly made.
Well, now, I can tell you one thing, though, about Manny Pacquiao.
Please do.
Manny Pacquiao, 40 years young. I don't say 40 years old. I say 40 years young, because that's what he looked like, a young 40-year-old. He looked like a 20-year-old. And Manny Pacquiao, I was talking to him 3 days before the fight in the private training session. You know, he told me, Joe, I'm ready to go and beat this guy. I can beat him. I said, good. I'm glad you believe in yourself, because a lot of fans out there are really backing you up on this fight. They will say, well, Keith Thurman is an undisputed welterweight WBA champion, one of the best out there, considered one of the best. And he was talking up a good game. He was backing it up until he fought Manny Pacquiao that
night.
And
he landed some good shots. I mean, he controlled the middle rounds. He did. But, I mean, all-time greats are all-time greats for a reason, Joe, right?
Yeah, you don't become a great fighter unless you fight somebody great. And Manny Pacquiao, you're going to be a...
He's fought everybody.
He's fought out there. You need a good dance partner to say you're great, but you can't be great dancing by yourself.
Agreed.
You got to be with somebody good.
I want to address something about the fight.
Go ahead.
Real quick about that Pacquiao fight. We have a lot of our fans, a lot of our followers go on. Immediately following the fight, I was caught up in the hype, and I saw a Photoshop photo of Keith Thurman's foot getting stepped on, and I addressed it. My whole point was it doesn't matter whether his foot got stepped on. He, you know, it was a knockdown's a knockdown.
Well, you know what?
Good.
But if it would have happened in the real fight, if the referee would have caught a step on the foot as a referee, you said, no, that he got caught.
Of course.
Then you call it a no knockdown, even though he got hit with a punch. You can't call it.
But I wasn't trying to take anything away from Manny Pacquiao. And now that I've seen, you know, I've rewatched the fight several times, I have to retract that statement. Once again, my whole point was it didn't matter. But to our fans, to our followers who do, you know, worry about our credibility, I want to say that didn't happen. He didn't step on his foot, and he deserves all the credit, which we've undeniably given him.
John, but I'm going to defend you on that. You know what I mean? You're a regular fan like anybody else, and you saw it the way you saw it. You called it the way you saw it.
I mean, people ringside were saying the same thing, man. Yeah, they were saying it looked like a step on the foot.
Yeah.
Then I see a doctored photo. I just, you know, we only have, what 2 days to in between this thing, and I didn't have it. It was just off the cuff, but I appreciate that, John.
But I think Manny Pacquiao, I mean, deserved the win. I mean,
my God, yes.
One of the judges gave it to Keith Thurman, and I do respect you know, Don Feldman, one of the best judges in the world. And that's what he saw it like that. But that's why you have judges at three different sides of the ring, and they see it from different angles. There's certain punches. This guy catch over here, he'll catch over here. But this guy didn't catch him. So maybe that could have been decided at the fight. The judge did not see those punches. And it could have been a one or two punches difference in that particular round that this judge here could have gave it to Keith Thurman.
Exactly.
Where the other two said, no, I give it to Pacquiao.
It's really hard to judge a boxing
It is.
Unless
you raise the precision of the judges, like I said before, you raise them a little higher, they get better angles, you see all the punches, most of the punches thrown when you're up higher. But anyway, that's another story.
Absolutely. Now, Max Kellerman went on his show this week, Max on Boxing, and he said that Manny Pacquiao has a case for best pound-for-pound boxer of all time. I agree with that. I think we both agree that he has a case.
Yes.
Rather than trying to tear down his case, which wouldn't make any sense, I think we should make that case. Let's do what we can here.
Well, I can tell you, Manny Pacquiao, to me, is one of the greatest fighters of all. I had the honor of refereeing Manny Pacquiao on three occasions. And every time I've been in there with him, after it was over, I would say to myself, wow. You know, I never really said that much about like that, how I felt about a fight at the end. But when I saw his performance, I always said to myself, I said, wow, what a fighter. And, you know, I was right the first time. When he won the bantamweight championship, he already had won the flyweight championship. But when he won the
flyweight championship in 19.
Yeah, at 19. But then when he fought in Vegas, I met Bar Arban in the ring. Said, Joe, what do you think about this kid after he won? I said, I think this kid's going places. He got a great. I like his style. He's going places. But I would never, by Wallace Reamer, would ever thought that he'll win championship in 8 different divisions, and to be up to where he got to today, even today. At the age of 40, I mean, come on. I've been retired for 7 years, and this guy is still going at it, you know? And some of the fighters that he beat 10 years ago, you know, saying to himself, how can it be?
They weigh more than Adam Kaunaki now, and they're sitting in the chair going, how is this guy? You know what I mean? You know, how is this guy
still
winning welterweight belts against undefeated opponents?
Unbelievable. So
unbelievable.
He's only one of a kind. And I don't like to hear people say he's – he can't be like a human being. He got to be doing something illegal to be at that level. I said, no. I said, if you take care of yourself and you're a student of the sport and be dedicated like he is and gives it all he had, in his mind, he still feels like he's hungry. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to stop. He wants to continue. And what he's doing is he's helping a lot of poor people out there.
A lot of people who are hungry. I think he fights for them in a lot of ways.
He's built over 1,000 homes for people out there out of his money. No fighter has even built one home for the homeless people out there.
No.
And he's got over 1,000, I think it's 1,500 homes he's built for people in his country. So I take off my hat to him. And if he's a senator now, right?
Yes, he is.
And I can see him running for president and win with no problem.
He could, maybe. I mean, they have a president who's pretty popular over there right now, but not as popular as Manny Pacquiao, I'll tell you that much. That's a popular guy.
Yeah, but we're going to make sure that if he goes to that level, make sure he does his job in the political arena, the same way he did in the boxing arena.
You got to hold him to the same standard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Same standard. If he can be half as good as a president as he is as a fighter, he'll be a damn good president.
Here. Yeah, exactly. He's half as good a president as he is
a
fighter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like an all-time great, man.
Okay, so let's go now to the other. Canelo Alvarez, there's a lot of hearsay, a lot of talk online here today about Canelo Alvarez dissatisfied with what's
happening. Let's talk about what we know. Let's talk about he got stripped of his IBF title, right? He got stripped of his IBF title.
And that was why?
Essentially, his team didn't file an extension. They didn't tell him that he was going to get stripped of the title.
That's what he's saying.
Well, but they could have filed an extension, and they didn't. And according to him, he was never told. He went on Twitter and was upset with his promotional team. He also was upset that they couldn't get a deal done by September 16th. That weekend is the biggest fight weekend for Mexican fight fans, period. Bigger than Cinco de Mayo, bigger than any other weekend there is. He owns that weekend.
I think it's September 14th.
Well, yeah, but the weekend of the 16th.
Yeah,
the 16th is the holiday itself.
Yeah.
And the fact that he couldn't get a fight done for September 14th is embarrassing. And it's an admonishment on his team, no matter which way you look at it. Now, obviously, there's so many different factors in here, right, Joe? There's DAZN. There's the fighter. There's the opponents. There's the belts and the organizations there. Then you have the actual promoter himself. But these are stuff that everybody has to deal with. And when you're at the top, you especially have to deal with.
You know, and it's a shame because when you got some of the best fighters in the world, I mean, he got a deal with $365 million with DAZN. Eddie Hearns, they made a deal for him for 11 fights. That's an average of $33 million per fight. And that's talking about big money. And one of the deals was that he put the fight Triple G, supposedly, according to what they wrote on there. And this is all hearsay. We're not saying that's not our personal opinion. This is what we're reading and people are putting out there. Is there truth to that? We don't know. We got to. This is true.
According to GabeOppenheim.com, which, you know, depending on how much you believe that, but there is a debatably reputable source, they say that, and they said they've spoken to both sides, and they say that he's already attained a lawyer. We don't know why he's retained that lawyer. We don't know if it's to get out of his contract. We don't know if it's to renegotiate the contract. We don't know what's going on, but it's never good when your fighter gets a personal lawyer, ever.
Right.
We've heard that, according to that same source, that he's reached out through intermediaries to other promoters. We don't know which ones, but we've heard there were two. Subtly, just a little bit here and there. But either way, that's not good. On the same side of the street, meaning the Golden Boy side of the street, you have Ryan Garcia, their up-and-coming prospect, their Golden Boy in training. He says that he's tired of having to promote his own fights. He goes on Twitter and says he's tired. He feels like he deserves promotion at the top level because he's got a million Twitter followers. This is a guy who's got an excellent following on his side.
Right.
How come he's not being promoted better is what he's asking. Now, we've also heard, according to Coppinger, who is a reputable source, Mike Coppinger of The Athletic, he says that he's hired a high-profile boxing attorney also. Now, this is not good. If you're the Golden Boy team, you cannot be feeling good right now that your two biggest fighters are essentially at odds with you. So, I mean, no situation is irreparable, but according to what we've heard, both these situations are strenuous at best, right?
Is that safe to say? But I can tell you one thing is that it's all in the early stages of this big investigation that's going on and all these papers being put out there. Is it true to the fact? I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know yet. But like I said, this is not what we're saying, is what we see with the people putting online. And I'm sure the Oscar De La Hoya promoter, who's always meant well and done great for his Golden Boy promotion.
Yes.
You know, we got to listen to both sides and see what the heck is really going on. You know, because we know that boxing always has some controversial issues always going on. And that's why boxing always has a black eye, because of stuff like this. And we don't want to see that in boxing as fight fans. We want to see boxing at another level. But you see no other sport out there going through what we go through in boxing.
Well, a lot of that, Joe, is a trade-off, right? If we had a single commission, like what the UFC has or what NFL has or what a lot of other sports situations have, then you probably wouldn't have the highest-paid athlete in the world consistently be a boxer, whether it's Floyd or Canelo or Pacquiao or whoever it is. The reason why they're able to make that much money, the reason they're able to do the things they do, is because they're so independently franchised, because they're so independently, they own their own entity. And that allows them to have that. Now, there are complications involved in it, as we're stating. But at the same time, you know, it is kind of a trade-off, right?
Right. Anyway, talking about trade-off, let's talk about another trade-off event that's happening. We're here at the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame Museum in Las Vegas, Nevada, the only interactive museum in the world. And we're having next Saturday the event, the 7th annual induction ceremony. Next Saturday at the Red Rock Hotel, we're going to have a lot of individuals who will be attending that event. Every year they have anywhere from 1,000 to 1,400 fans that attend the event.
Where's that at?
They're going to be at the Red Rock Hotel next Saturday night.
Do we know any of the inductees? Do you have any names you can drop?
I know Winky Wright is one of them. Hasim Rockman is another.
Heavyweight champion.
And you got Wamaner Marquez. There's quite a bit of fighters that are coming in.
Those are some good names to drop there.
But then they have the amateur boxing, WBC amateur boxing event. That's the third annual WBC amateur challenge. That's also going to be held August 10th. That's Saturday at the Red Rock Casino Hotel. It's going to be a great event to watch all these young amateur fighters, because that's where all the champions and the pros, they all come from somewhere, a beginning, and that is in the amateurs. So we're looking forward to that. And it's going to be a very interesting event.
Absolutely. How exciting. Any fans of amateur boxing or any fans of great fighters ever, make your way to Red Rock Casino and Hotel on the 9th and 10th, and you can catch both live fights from up-and-comers as well as inductees, you know, inductions from the greats to ever do it. Like you said, Hasim Rockman, Winky Wright, I mean, Juan Manuel Marquez. Talk about greats.
A lot of world champions are going to be there, a lot of past inductees.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're going to find a Mike Tyson there. You'll find a Lennox Lewis, Hasim Rockman, Joe Cortez.
Yeah, Joe Cortez will be there.
referee Richard Steele and... Robert Hoyle, Russell Mora, Kenny Bayless, all those referees will be there Saturday night.
They don't pass up stuff like that.
Love stuff like that.
They're always there. Guys are the best.
Now, there's a question about one of the heavyweights. Who's one of the best heavyweights out there today? And, you know, one of the best heavyweights out there today, I mean, you got to say, who's really the top? You got Luis Ortiz. You have Anthony Joshua, who's still in the mix, even though he got stopped by Anthony.
But he's still there.
Andy Ruiz, who's the heavyweight champion. And you got a handful of guys that are Tyson Fury. Of course, Tyson Fury is one of my favorites right now, because even though he got that draw against Deontay Wilder, WBC heavyweight champion of the world right now. So, I mean, there's a lot of decent fighters out there, but nothing to brag about. It's still kind of like, they're okay, but nothing compared to what it was like in the golden era.
Golden era? 70s or 90s?
Let's go back to the 70s.
All right, let's talk about it.
You got about Muhammad Ali. You got Ken Norton. You got
Sonny Liston,
Ernie Terrell, Joe Frazier. And there were so many great fighters out there. Ernie Shaver is the hardest hitting heavyweight. Never was a world champion. Yeah, Leon Spinks, who beat Muhammad Ali. But Muhammad Ali was past his prime. But in the rematch 6 months later, he beat him. He took his title back. But there's been it was like the welterweight division. He had Tommy Hearns, Hagler, Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard. Yeah, those guys were fighting each other. That's the way it was in the heavyweight division back in those years, in the 70s and 80s.
But I don't know. You look at the top four in the heavyweight division these days, and I think you can make a case that we have compared to what, the last 11 years of the Klitschko brothers?
Yeah.
Where the Klitschko era, you only had one fighter of any, you know, note, or two if you include both Klitschkos.
Right.
So you got two Klitschkos, the only two guys who really make a noise in the heavyweight division forever. Now you have kind of a foursome of sorts with, you know, Andy Ruiz Jr., you got Anthony Joshua, you got Deontay Wilder, and you got Tyson Fury. And then you got a few other guys, about six other ones to round out that top 10. I'm not saying they're up there with Muhammad Ali and Ken Norton.
No way.
I'm just saying they're a lot better than what we've been, you know, dealing with, you know, since the 90s.
Yeah.
Since the 90s. The 90s had another heyday before we
heard. Well, you know, we have Mike Tyson was in that mix in there.
Absolutely. But Tyson, Lewis.
Tyson, you got Lewis. Yeah, he had a couple
Rockman,
of
guys. David
Tua, Oliver McCall.
Yeah.
You had a bunch of heavyweights in the 90s. Buster Douglas, when he upset Mike Tyson in Japan.
Evander Holyfield.
Evander Holyfield, Redick Bowe. I mean, those are great fighters in the 90s. I had the honor of refereeing most of those guys, especially the first and third fight with Evander Holyfield, Redick Bowe. Those are great, great
that
epic. That was an epic fight, the first
Absolutely. One of the great fights.
Yeah,
of all
the second one was when they, for a second time, was when the Fan Man came into the ring. I mean, a guy in a parachute comes into a ring. I mean, that's crazy. I'd heard of it, but.
And that's the only one you didn't referee.
That's the one I didn't referee.
See, if Joe Cortez was refing that fight, he'd have gotten in the middle there. He would have
He'd
have thrown him back up.
I would have thrown him back up into the sky somehow.
Exactly.
And let the fight continue.
You can't put a price on quality refereeing.
They stopped the fight for 27 minutes. I would have punched that parachute guy out myself.
And you said, get out of here.
Come on, what the heck are you doing to interfere with our fight? You know?
See that, Joe? That's
what
happens.
But the people at ringside got to hit him with their cell block telephone. They were hitting him over the head. Oh, man, that guy was taken by ambulance out of the arena. It looked like he got pounded away that night. Not by the fighter, but by the fans.
Exactly.
That was funny.
Fight fans, they get all juiced up. You know, oh, you don't want to give them a reason.
Oh, my God, I tell you, man. And poor Mills Lane, he was like, what the heck? Everybody's stopped. What did Max, you a parachute coming into the ring? You think it's the end of the world? What the hell's going on,
that's
hey, guys?
That's crazy.
But that's the thing, you got to be prepared for the unexpected in the ring.
Yeah.
I'm talking about being prepared for the unexpected. I remember one night I was refereeing a fight, and all the lights went out, and the fighter was throwing punches. I said, whoa, you know what the heck? I thought I almost got hit, you know?
My God.
The lights went out for about 5 minutes. I said,
they kept fighting the whole time?
No, they stopped. I said, well, he had to stop. I was feeling my way through, and I pushed this guy away, and the fans were all screaming. And about 5 minutes later, the lights came back on again.
Oh, my God.
Got him back in there.
That sounds like a challenge in a video game. You got to, beat the level with the lights out.
I thought for a second, I got knocked out with the lights went out.
Yeah. You know? Think about it. Yeah, you felt like you were fighting Deontay Wilder. Lights went out in the middle of it.
Speaking
of video games, by the way, we have this belt right here, as you can see. We have it's a little different. We have our team from Hard Knock Knights Live. Yeah. It's a video game they're developing, and we have them joining us. That's who we keep looking at behind the camera.
They got that belt.
This is their belt right here. If you win the next season, then this will be your belt.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to doing some work with them and get this thing rolling on real soon.
Absolutely.
I'll be up in Toronto with them up in November 26th.
Well, that's exciting.
We'll be meeting up there, and we're doing a lot of good things, making sure that we get the Hard Knock Knights Live going. Video game.
I love that.
Man, when that video game comes out there, fans around the world, make sure you be part of this a beautiful game.
I know most fight fans are big video game fight fans in a lot of ways. A lot of them love Fight Night. A lot of them love a lot of the old video games, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out from all the way back in the day. This is the next one. Once again, Hard Knock Knights Live.
Yeah.
If you want to go to the website, it's hardknockknights.live. So you can go ahead and catch that. And we're happy to have them here. We're happy to have their belt.
Yeah.
We didn't even have to win it. We just had to talk about it. That's pretty cool. Yeah, way easier than
I feel like a champion already with the Hard.
I know, honestly. Yeah, and good luck getting it back. Yeah.
And we also want to thank I Drink All Water, the alkaline water is all nutrition, all vitamins, water, a good drink to have. I think I'm going to have one of these after the show. Actually, better to even have it during the fight. Makes you feel like you better make a comeback every round.
It's got electrolytes, it's got creatine, it's got CoQ10. It's really got a ton of good nutrients. Really good if you're working out. It's really good stuff. I drink it whenever I work out.
Yeah. And talking about the up-and-coming fights, who do we have coming up next in the very near future? Any big fights we have coming up important?
We already said Tyson Fury versus Otto Waller.
We got Errol Spence Jr. fighting Sean Porter. That's September 28th.
That's a big fight, baby.
That's a big fight. I'm looking forward to that welterweight fight. That's going to be a good one. And we want to make sure that you fans don't miss out on that fight. We also have Tyson Fury is fighting
Otto Wallen.
Otto Wallen. What is that again? September what?
Who cares?
November? Who cares?
I don't know. I'm not going to watch
it. But it's going to be an interesting fight to see. I mean, can you imagine if it's a big surprise? A lot of people said they don't watch. Didn't want to watch the Andy Ruiz.
Andy Ruiz was at least top 20, man. People knew who he was. He was on TV.
But, you know, when even myself there, well, at the last minute, I was watching him. I said, wait a minute. He got a style that he could surprise the world out there. Mm-hmm. He got some punch. I like his punching power. I like his boxing skills. And I said to myself, I think Andy Ruiz has a shot. I gave him a shot. I said, he could have upset Anthony Joshua. Mm-hmm. Not one of the few who said that. And the Brits out there, they was like, everything was silenced back in the United Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he's a big fan favorite.
I think they turned off Big Ben for the night. They just said, no more Big Ben, no more the bridge. They canceled the bridge, the whole thing. The Queen went to sleep. It was a national tragedy. It was no good. You know, I went to go look up some fight video of Wallen so we could do a little, and I Googled Otto Wallen and Google say who? I don't know where to do any research. He's got no Wikipedia page.
He's a Swedish fighter.
Yes.
But there was a fighter named Ingemar Johansson, who was unknown back in the 50s, actually it was in the 60s, early 60s, he knocked out Floyd Patterson to become heavyweight champion of the world.
It happened.
Then for the rematch, and Patterson knocked him out cold, you know? Mm-hmm. But I mean, sometimes these unknown fighters can surprise the hell out of you, you know? You just never know.
For the record, if Otto Wallen beats Tyson Fury, I'll be the happiest guy ever to be wrong. It would be the funniest thing to happen in boxing in a long time. And so I want to go on record as saying that I would be a happy guy to be pleasantly surprised by that.
Well, the whole world was shocked when Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson.
Who you don't even got to go back that far.
I mean, who the hell would have thought that? Yeah, I mean.
Andy Ruiz just did it with Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, but it was not a devastating knockout. I mean, a fighter as great as Mike Tyson was, that's a big difference. You can't compare Joshua with Mike Tyson. You put him on a scale to see. Mike Tyson is definitely the king of all the heavyweights in the last 30 years or so.
He was certainly the most popular.
Yeah. Well, he was knocking guys out, you know, mm-hmm. in 30 seconds. My instructions when I did him against Bobby Fraser, my instructions was longer than the fight. 30 mm-hmm. seconds, the fight was over. I mean, come on. You know, I couldn't believe it.
Anyway,
as you can say, fans, I would thank you so much for listening in. And our friends from Canada here, thank you for coming down and visiting us in Vegas. John?
I just want to say, we've been doing this for 2 years now. We just did the math. It's been 2 years we've been doing this show. We can't do it without all of you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for subscribing. Please, thank you for subscribing on iTunes. Thank you for subscribing on Spotify, YouTube. Thanks for watching on Facebook Live and comments and contributions. Thank you for all that you guys do. We really do appreciate it, and we couldn't do it without you.
And remember, guys, I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch them up. See you next week.
Fair but firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee.
I'm Joe Cortez
for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but firm.